Good morning. Can you please turn with me to John chapter 12, verses 1 to 11, or just follow along on the handout in your bulletin? And so I hope that as we read today, that we're not just reading, but that we will, you know, enter into this beautiful story, okay? So Jesus anointed at Bethany. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him.
Thank you, Dad, for reading scripture. Situation surrounding this passage is like this. In John chapter 11, we see how Jesus had just miraculously raised Lazarus from the dead, calling him out from the grave in front of a crowd of people. Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out. This brought many people to faith, to believe in Jesus and to follow him. And because great enthusiasm was growing from among the people, from both the Jews and the non-Jews alike, because of all the things that Jesus had done, the Jewish authorities, they were determined to stop him. You see, from their point of view, Jesus' popularity becomes a real problem to them, and he must be arrested. They said in John chapter 11, verse 48, if we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And then the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our nation. So it is in this situation, it is in this context that we find ourselves in John chapter 12. After raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus knew that his life was in danger. And not only him. Not only was he aware of this, the family that he was staying with, the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, I'm sure this family was also aware of the fear, of the impending danger that was soon take place regarding Jesus' arrest. And so here, we can almost feel the emotion. We can almost sense the weight of the situation that is at hand. Can't we? I want to just show you a short video just to emphasize this point even more.
My sister Martha asked me, "Now Mary, what exactly was the purpose of that little scene you caused right there in the middle of dinner?" And all I could say was, it was just something I could do. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me back up. Meeting Jesus. I guess I just never thought he might be so personable. One who would come to our home and have dinner with our family. Laugh at our jokes. Tell a few of his own. Sitting with him made everything else seem less important. So that night, right before Passover, we wanted to honor him for everything he'd done in our family. Looking back on that night, we knew, knowing that the whole world was against him, there could have been so much more. We could have let him know that we were unified, that we were all for him. And that was a missed opportunity. Where was I? So that night, we had him over for dinner to honor him. But how exactly do you thank someone for bringing your brother back to life? Well, our sister Martha was in the kitchen preparing this perfect meal for him. And then there was me. What could I do? I decided to give up one of my most precious possessions. Precious things given to Jesus never really seem wasted. And I knew as soon as I did it, it was obvious. Some people weren't pleased with my choice. It wasn't planned. It was spur of the moment. It leapt from my heart. I let down my hair in public, which you just don't do. And I wiped his feet with it. And then I poured out an expensive perfume jar of oil to honor him. And the beautiful scent filled the whole room. Now, if I would have stayed paralyzed in fear over what my sister would think after she made this huge meal, or the anger of the onlookers, or what a disciple could say, I might never have worshiped him that way. And the beautiful scent, oh, it stayed for days and days. Sitting at his feet, none of their opinions really mattered. Jesus was pleased with me. And he stood up in my defense. So why did I do it? I guess it was all I had. And days later, Jesus would pour out everything he had for us. For me.
This was a very expensive perfume oil of pure nard. It was equivalent to a year's wages, John said, of a common laborer back then. In those days, it was about 300 denarii. Today, a year's wages for a common laborer is about $24,000. What perfume costs $24,000 today? Men, how many of you have gone and bought your wife perfume before? Your girlfriend or your fiance? Come on, men. Show of hands. I don't see any hands. A couple of hands. Is that all? Really? Okay, I must confess, I've never bought my wife perfume either. That's because she smells so nice, she doesn't need perfume. Well, at least that's what I tell her. So men, if you've ever bought perfume before, you'll realize that it costs quite a bit of money. Now, 1 ounce, 1 ounce of Chanel number 5, older perfume. 1 ounce costs $125 an ounce. An ounce. We're talking about a pint of perfume here. A pint of perfume, if you were to use and buy Chanel number 5, would cost you $2,000 for this amount of perfume. $2,000. Now, this is probably the most iconic perfume that there is, the most recognizable brand in the world. And most women I hear, I'm not an expert in this, most women I hear who use perfume regularly use only an ounce for a whole year. For a whole year. Now, we were to talk about another type of perfume, Hermes 24 Faubourg. This costs $1,500 for an ounce. And if you do your math, times 16 ounces equals a pint, this would cost $24,000 for this type of perfume. Only 1,000 bottles of this were ever made. So, how was Mary able to do it? How does she have the means to acquire this perfume oil in the first place? Well, it could have been that day, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, they pooled their resources together to purchase this perfume. Or it could have been that it was a family heirloom, this bottle, and it was passed down to them from generation to generation. I mean, we don't really know. The text here doesn't really say how they got it. But here, Martha and Mary, they do a spectacular thing. And we always give Martha the bad rep, don't we? We always think that she's not devoted to Christ. Well, it's not true. Martha prepares the perfect meal in honor of Jesus. The perfect meal. She spent all her energy, her time, her resources on doing so. While Mary, in her own way, prepares the perfect act of thanksgiving, the perfect act of praise and honor by lavishing her affection for Jesus. Because her brother was dead and is now raised to life once again. I heard this commentary say that Martha served Jesus physically. She served Jesus physically. Mary, on the other hand, served Jesus spiritually. And Lazarus was at the table being served. Things haven't changed the last 2,000 years. So today, I want to just focus ourselves on three questions today as we look at this passage. Just three questions. First, are we seeing Jesus for who he really is? Are we seeing Jesus for who he really is? Now, not only was sitting at Jesus' feet as a disciple something that women did not do in those days, letting down your hair in public as a sign of devotion was totally improper for Jewish women. It just wasn't done. But Mary does an even more scandalous thing here. She anoints Jesus' feet with an extremely expensive perfume, and then she wipes her hair. She wipes his feet with her hair. So why does she do it? Well, maybe she did it because of her extreme gratitude, you know, to Jesus for raising Lazarus back to life, for bringing back hope to their family. But more so, I believe, that was because she now realizes who Jesus is. She now realizes who Jesus is. You see, after journeying with Jesus for these past years, having seen or even heard him open the eyes of the blind, heal the paralytic, the demon-possessed, have authority over the wind and the waves to even calm the storm, feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, Mary has seen who Jesus is. And she will not hesitate to do everything for him. Whereas on the other hand, Judas does not see Jesus for who he is, even though he spent the same time with him, and will not do anything for Jesus except to use him for his own gain. The difference in all that is that Mary has seen the Lord. She has seen her Lord. John describes it in this way in John chapter 1, verse 14. He said, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Mary has seen the glory of Jesus. She has seen the glory of God himself in Jesus. And as a result, she reaches for the most valuable thing she has, and she offers it to Jesus. You know, when our view of Jesus is enlarged, when our view of Jesus is enlarged, when it is deepened, when it is unveiled, like that of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, our actions toward him change. Now, this story that we just read, it's really all about the intimacy of friendship. The intimacy of deep love shared among friends. That's not sexual. The Bible says Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And they, in turn, truly loved him. The intimacy of this moment, when Mary realizes that she is in the presence of the Messiah, that she is in the presence of the Son of God himself, that she is in the presence of the promised one who is to come into the world to save the world. Judas has no idea what's going on here. Even the other disciples are not fully getting it. You know, as they continue to debate among themselves who is the greatest, Peter, considered the leader of the disciples, doesn't at this time see Jesus for who he is either, what he's supposed to do by dying. And so Peter, he rebukes Jesus, and he says to him, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you," in referencing his suffering that is to come and his death on the cross. You know, some of us, when we come to church, week in and week out, we don't really see God and what God is doing among us, or what God wants to do among us. We don't really see Jesus, and so we just use him to do the things that we want to do, or the things that we think we should do. You know, here, there's a true understanding of each other's hearts here between Mary and Jesus. Jesus sees Mary's heart, and Mary sees the heart of her Lord, of the Lord for her family, and for those that the Lord brings her way. You know, earlier this week, a family who has never come to church before, never come to this church before, came to our church early on this week. And they asked to see if they could just spend some time, you know, sitting in that area. If they could come in and just sit in that area and just spend some time praying. And so one of our men staff let them in, and they asked as well, not only to sit down and pray, but to see if they can find a pastor to pray for them. And so seeing that no other pastors were around on that Tuesday afternoon, you know, they approached me, the men staff, and asked to see if I would spend some time praying for this family. Now, I must say, you know, although I did meet with this family for a few minutes and I prayed with them, I did my pastoral duty. I gave up my business card to them saying that anytime you need something, just give me a call. And I went back up to my office where I usually work, so I could get back to do some real work so I could prepare this morning's message for today. Not long after I left and I went back up to my office, did I sense Jesus say to me, "What are you doing? What are you doing in your office?" So after a bit of struggle and just making excuses about how much work I had to do that this week, how my schedule was so full. Every night last week was full of meetings. This Saturday, we had meetings. And especially, I'm without an assistant pastor at this time. The Lord then brought conviction to my heart. And I was able to sense Jesus' heart for this family that was still sitting in the sanctuary at that time. And so I went back downstairs. And I started then to really listen to this family, to what they had to say. It was a mom of about 50-odd years old. She had a 20-odd-year-old daughter. She had just been told a couple weeks ago that she's been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And she was told she had 1 year to live. And her question was, why? Why would this happen to me at my age? And so for a few more minutes and for half an hour afterwards, I just listened to her. I listened to them. And I heard their story. And they asked us as a church to pray for them. And so you remember Margaret in your prayers this week. Pray for Margaret and her daughter and her husband as they go through this trial together and as they go through for her first chemo session this coming week. You know, sometimes, brothers and sisters, we get so wrapped up in our own work. We get so wrapped up in our own world, we don't see Jesus. We don't sense his leading for us to minister in his name because we think we are ministering in his name by doing what we're doing, by what we think we should be doing. But our Lord is the God of the broken. Psalm 34 says, he is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Mary truly saw who Jesus is. Despite not being a scholar, despite not being a learned academic, despite not being one of the 12 disciples, how was she able to do this? Maybe it's because of all the listening, all the pondering that she was there doing, sitting at the feet of Jesus. First, are we seeing Jesus for who he really is? And secondly, are we putting the nard that we have to good use? You know, think what Mary could have done with 300 denarii, or equivalent today, with $24,000. What could you buy with $24,000? What does Mary do with it? John mentions here that Judas was extremely annoyed at Mary's act of devotion because Judas, being the treasurer, often stole from the money bag. Here, I just want to touch upon a couple of things. Judas's embezzlement and Mary's extravagance. Judas's embezzlement reveals a heart in love with self and money, whereas Mary's extravagance reveals a heart in love with her Savior and her Lord. You see, Mary valued and loved the Lord, whereas Judas valued and loved the money. Judas's heart was the opposite of Mary's. And as we reflect on what Mary has done, does she already know? Does she already know what will take place? Has she come to an understanding of Jesus' mission even before the other disciples? Now here, we can see that with Mary's actions, Jesus has now been prepared for what he will face in the days ahead, for his eventual death and for his burial as he journeys to the cross. And no doubt, Mary's actions and her anointing of Jesus with perfume covered his clothes. It covered his body with a strong, sweet scent for days. Now, Mary's devotion remained with Jesus. Her gift remained with Jesus, even as he went to the cross, even as he was being crucified, her gift remained with Jesus. It was that precious. It was that special. It was that appropriate for her. So how are we as disciples of Christ able to show the same kind of devotion to Jesus today? Is it possible to truly honor our Lord in a way that seems extravagant? And when we spend time, when we spend money, when we spend our effort in sponsoring and in helping refugees in crisis, in helping families or single moms who live even locally in our communities, we are putting the nard to good use. When we downsize our homes, as some of us are doing or will be doing in the near future, and we use the earnings to build up the kingdom of God, whether it is through an offering to a worthwhile charity, to a woman's shelter that Dave and Andy are going to go and help build, whether it's to a relief agency, or whether it's contributing towards a church extension that can be used to further outreach our community, we are putting the nard to good use. When we spend our lives, when we spend our careers, when we spend our retirement years, the remaining years of our lives on earth to serve the Lord in both big and small ways, we are putting the nard to good use. When we release our children to do God's work, both in the marketplace and in ministry, we're putting the nard to good use. So first, are we seeing Jesus for who he really is? And second, are we putting the nard that we have to good use? And then lastly, third, are we lavish in pouring out our love to Jesus? Are we lavish in pouring out our love to Jesus? Now, John doesn't mention it, but I'm sure that others who were there must have felt the same way. What a total waste. What a total waste. You know, rather than just sprinkling a small amount of perfume on Jesus, Mary breaks open the jar and lets it all pour out. She takes the perfume oil, this precious, expensive perfume oil, this pint of perfume oil. Sticky feet. And what does she do with it? She lovingly, and she lavishly pours it on her Lord, recognizing who he is, maybe for the very first time in her life, remembering all the things that he has done, seeing how he has raised her brother back to life, seeing the Son of God firsthand, she lovingly and lavishly pours it all out on Jesus. And then she takes her hair, she lets it down, and she wipes his feet with her hair. She's all in. She's all in. She's fully committed in her devotion to Jesus. how does a life lived for God looks like? What does it concern itself with? What does it long for and passionately desire? Mary's heart and her desire is for the Lord. 300 days earning, gone, just like that, so that she can show her lavish affection and devotion to Jesus. Just like that, poured out in one go. Some of us may spend that lavishly too, only on ourselves, on our expensive hobbies, on our toys, on our clothes, on our homes, our cars, our retirement. Although the text here says that Mary anointed Jesus' feet, in Mark chapter 14, verse 3, a parallel chapter, it says that his head was also anointed. And so nonetheless, whether it's the head or just the feet or both the head and the feet, nonetheless, the quantity is so great that the entire house is filled with its fragrance. John emphasizes Jesus' feet here because it truly shows the humility of Mary's devotion. The fact that she used the hair to dry his feet is also of great significance. And so for Mary to do that, it's for her to not act in accordance with the custom, with the tradition of her day, but rather to be extravagant in her worship and devotion to Jesus Christ. Now, some people were not happy with her, and I'm sure she felt the struggle herself. And what would people think of me? What would they say behind my back? I don't want others to judge me, to misunderstand me, to label me. You know, but if fear of what people think stopped us from giving to Jesus that which honored him, we would never do so. You see, there are a million and one reasons why we should not be lavish with our love for Jesus. But the question is Jesus pleased with us? And like Mary, the Lord will stand up in our defense because he will see the intentions of our heart. He will acknowledge what we do, whether it's seen by others or not. And so, brothers and sisters, let us live in such a way that we lavish, that we pour out all of ourselves for Jesus. For on the journey to the cross, that we'll see in the weeks to come as we lead to the cross, the Lord poured out all he had for us. The perfume oil that Mary may have reserved for her own burial, or the burial of a loved one, has now been poured out lavishly, generously, extravagantly, without thought of the future. And so while we often break the bread in church, while we often drink the wine in church, do we pour out the oil? Do we sacrifice what we have to Jesus? When Mary and Martha saw that Lazarus was awakened from the dead, they saw the value, they saw the worth, they saw the true identity of Jesus. And when we are awakened from the dead, so to speak, by the Holy Spirit, we will begin to see the value and the worth and the true identity of who Jesus is as well. You see, the affections of our heart never stays with us alone. It doesn't. It always outflows to others, for others to see. Have you noticed this? You know, people around us can see what we're passionate about, what we're affectionate towards, what we're wholly devoted to. We wear it on our chests when we go to sports games. You know, we wear it, you know, in our hang bags that we carry around, the coats that we wear, what we passionately feel strongly about. People can see and they notice it. Mary's affection and devotion could not be contained. It outflowed and it overflowed to the whole house. The fragrance of Mary's devotion and affection for Jesus flowed throughout the whole house for everyone to see, for everyone to smell, and for everyone to notice. So I'll leave us with this thought today. Can others see? Can others smell? Can others notice our lavish and our extravagant worship of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Son of God? Let's pray together, shall we? So, Lord God, our desire here this morning is to learn from people, Lord God, who were not disciples as such. They were not one of the 12. They were not educated. They were not scholars. They were not theologians. They were simply friends. They were friends of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that through that friendship, we ourselves are able to see what a heart that loves and truly cherishes looks like in the lives of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Help us today, Lord Jesus, to not just leave having heard a similar story that we've heard over and over many times. But Lord God, I pray, just as you convicted my heart today, this week, when I met this family, may you convict each one of our hearts today as well, so that we can truly see you for who you are and truly begin to do the work that you've asked us to do. Not what we think we should do, but to emulate, Lord God, your Christ-like character to others around us. And so, Father, we pray. In humility, we would learn to serve you and to love you in the way that we've seen today in Mary's life. Thank you, Lord God. Hear our prayer, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.